but in that same vein of me just no longer just spending random funds on random crap at the comic book store when in reality I kind of want these specific things.
Yeah.
I started picking up superpowers. I just started set an eBay search, the Kenner superpowers from the 80s.
You said the figures?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the Wonder Woman I got was $9 with free shipping.
That's pretty good. I mean, it's good. You found it too.
But she, but whenever you squeeze her legs, her arms are supposed to go up and cross.
Uh-huh.
Only one of her arms works.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, well, that's $9. But I got a Hawkman for $11, and he is just about perfect.
That's a good find too.
And Hawkman's kind of expensive. Strangely enough, he's not a very popular character in the world, but his figures are...
Because of the run. Because they didn't have a whole lot. That's why. That's exactly what it is. Because what's weird is I got a guy been buying Star Wars figures from me lately, and he wants to try to get every figure ever made, including the 90s and everything. And the 1997 green card TIE fighter is almost impossible to find. And I've been looking for them, and they're actually twice the value of all the other figures from that same time because they didn't make very many of them.
It's, yeah. It, so, I, you know how I am. I want them complete, but I don't want them in the package necessarily. I want them to stand up on my shelf.
Right.
So, I'm buying them loose.
I've got some cool stuff for you then. Right now I have a Lex Luthor, I have a Mr. Freeze, and I may have a Brainiac.
Oh, cool.
Which I can hook you up with. So
I'll have to take a look.
And the Brainiac is actually opened. Or the package is damaged, so that wouldn't be a bad one to open up and do with as you please.
So, hey everybody. It is March 2nd, 2017. Scary Dad Podcast. This is episode 21, or 20 and one half, 20.5. It's a meta episode. And, I actually just got back into town after running around. I think I've walked something like 60 miles in the last few days. In the last, like, 2 weeks, actually.
We haven't seen each other or talked in a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, so. And we were really going to not get together. We were going to kind of take a week off and maybe run an old episode or I don't know, play a funny cat video from YouTube. But then On Sunday morning, we found out that actor Bill Paxton had passed away. Apparently, complications from having heart surgery. And, you know, we don't really have to tell you how much of an impact Bill Paxton had on, well, just kind of movies in general over the last, like, almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And so... As soon as we found out, Scott and I kind of were like, hey, let's get together and let's talk about that. Because, I mean, it hit both of us kind of hard.
It hit us hard, and it was like, you know, 2016 is starting all over again.
Yeah. So, Scott posted a thing on Facebook talking about an experience that he had meeting Bill. And I never, unfortunately, got a chance to meet him. But before we get into the thick of it... you've mentioned meeting some celebrities in the past. You know, you mentioned Michael Rooker, mm-hmm. Bernie Wrights, and a couple different folks. Why don't you tell the listeners so that anybody who's got maybe a bullshit detector trying to fly their flag, how is it that you know some of these guys? Like,
well, one way is I've been real lucky since I was younger. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And luckily, Louisiana started giving very good tax breaks to film companies while I was still living over there. And got to see several people in different ventures such as that. But for the most part, I've met most of the celebrities and gotten known through Comicpalooza. I've been working for Comicpalooza, the largest pop culture convention in Texas, for the past 3 years now. And I work with their hospitality department, working with the guest. And last year, I took over as the airport coordinator. So that actually, whenever the VIP celebrities come to town, I actually have to meet them at the gate as soon as they get off the airplane. And I get to get a lot of FaceTime with them and hang out and explain to them about our city and get to know them a little bit. And whenever they go to depart, I meet them back at the airport. And we get to hang out, and sometimes we have breakfast together. Sometimes we, you know, grab a coffee, that kind of thing. So it's a lot of fun. You know, they're just regular guys for the most part. 98% are awesome. That 2%, they are real assholes. but for the most part, it's been a real, real great experience.
That's awesome. Sure. So having met Bill, what was your kind of impression of him?
Bill was exceptional. He he's a Texas boy. You can tell. Told him before he left. I said, "No, you're just a good old country boy, ain't you?" And sure enough, that's what he's like. Yeah. He was different than all celebrities I met that weekend. When he got off the plane, he was actually taking selfies with people. And I remember just, he kept doing things that kind of set him apart from everybody else. You know, he got off the plane, took a selfie with this guy. He asked the guy to see it. Bill didn't like the way it looked, so he said, "Let me hold the camera," because he could hold it further out. He retook the selfie for the guy and made sure they got a good picture together and stuff. And he stops and, you know, he takes care of his fans. He's one that appreciates where he is and what he has.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just an outstanding guy. He liked Houston a lot. Yeah, while he was down here, it was pretty cool. And Mike Rucker on his personal Facebook page, he had put some stuff about this. It hit him pretty hard because him and Bill reconnected last year from Tombstone.
Right.
And apparently they kind of reconnected and started talking a little bit more, you know, and you know, all of a sudden that's gone.
Yeah, you know, I think about, you know, Facebook being what it is, you know, kind of a place to argue with strangers about stupid crap, but you know, like the jobs that you've had in the past, you know, certain times in your life that are bygone, and you know, just kind of people that have passed by, and you know, you don't really think about it much. I mean, you might think about it a little bit more now than maybe you used to, but I remember like my dad telling me stories about like when he was a radio DJ and you know, the different people working at the station, and he'd always say something along the lines like, "I wonder what happened to old so and so or you know, whatever." And you know, think how even though it's kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time, because you're always connected, you know, you get to see people's ideas on things that maybe you don't really want to know.
Yeah.
But how much of a blessing it is that you can reach back and you know, reach out to friends and folks, like you said, reconnect and stuff.
Well, you know, Facebook has been just a real blessing for me, to be honest with you, because my dad died when I was 9. And him and my mom, they lived in San Francisco for a long time. When they first got married, he was stationed there with the Navy. That's actually where they met. They grew up an hour away from each other in Louisiana, and they met in San Francisco. And through Facebook, I have met all these cousins in San Francisco that I never knew before, who my dad lived with back then, and have gotten, you know, some really great stories that I never would have had otherwise. You know, so yeah, it can be a good thing. That's for sure.
For sure. Little side note, it's funny, you know, my dad passed away in 2014, so just a couple years ago. Still I'm in the habit of talking about it, like, you know, like, "Oh, he says this or that," or right, whatever, you know. But when he was DJ back in the day, his radio personality name was Bill Paxton, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so when he said whenever Paxton actually started getting famous, he was like, "Hey, that dude stole my name." You know, like, just kind of in a for fun sort of way. Yeah, I guess if you're listening here, if you were listening to Lubbock College Radio back in the early 70s, and you remember a DJ named Bill Paxton, that was my dad. it wasn't the actor. But yeah, so getting into it, Bill Paxton, he is 61 years old, born May 17th, 1955, in Fort Worth, Texas. Just a quick cursory look. I mean, if you Googled his name, and I, you know, anytime somebody passes away or something crazy happens, you know, internet search goes crazy, you know, so traffic spikes, but. Mm-hmm. Just a cursory glance at his IMDb. As an actor, he had 93 credits. As a producer, he had 7. As a director, 5. As a writer, 4. And then he had also credits as like art director and set designer. And like, this guy was fully invested in theater.
He loved theater. I was about to say, he loved theater and everything. In performance. You know, one of the first things he did, which I talked to him about it when he was in town, was when I was a kid, I remember this horrible video from YouTube called Fish Heads. I don't know if you remember it.
I do.
Catchy tune. When I was, you know, 9 years old, it was real neat. Me and my cousin would sing it. He directed that video, and he's one of the guys in the video. He's one of the trash bag guys in the Fish Heads video.
It's, yeah. Excuse me.
For those of you that don't know that video, we'll post it on the website.
Yeah, we're gonna post that. That might be our ending music. I don't know if he'd want that as
perfect as an ending music, actually.
Bill Paxton was one of those guys who He's probably, if you were to try to classify him, he'd probably be classified as a character actor, because he was in so many different things as so many different types of character.
Yep.
That he wasn't so much the leading man or the bad guy or the dopey friend, but he played all of those people to full effect.
Yep.
To where even whenever he was not the lead, he kind of stole the scene.
He stole the scene, right.
Or his impact was such that it was felt. Like, yeah. And I was looking at some of these movies, and I only listed, I mean, we're a horror podcast, so I only listed really the horror ones. I mean, his rom-coms and his action movies and
his, there's lots of stuff he's done.
His other stuff. I mean, 93 credits in I think he was active for like 34 years.
Yep.
93 credits in 34 years, that is a lot of work. You know, he was never really kind of sitting around. He also did a lot of TV, too.
Yep.
I mean, later years, he was doing, he did the Big Love, and he's even currently just on Training Day.
Yep.
I mean, he had an active show going on. Back in the day, he was on Tales from the Crypt. I mean, he was on a lot of television. So he crossed genres, he crossed
He was very versatile. He was incredibly versatile.
And, you know, it's kind of funny because he was also really, really good friends, like best friends with James Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you think about, if you're on coffee terms and lunch terms and hanging out in the backyard terms with somebody of the caliber of James Cameron, and you're crossing over into TV and still doing bit part movies and you're doing character roles at the same time as you're doing lead roles. That's speaks to the character of the man.
He loves the art.
He loves the character. He didn't seem to be too caught up in the notoriety,
right,
or the status of the scene. Just, you know, if he liked the story, he seemed to go after it. So, you know, let's just get into it. I mean, I just wrote down a few. Some of them aren't scary, but some of them are notable because I didn't really know that he was in that.
Right.
He was in Stripes. I think it was just a cameo.
Yeah, it was just a cameo in Stripes.
But
sure,
he was Soldier. Kind of, it's kind of funny, like sort of like a Kevin Bacon in Animal House. Like,
yeah.
He was in a very big scene, but he was there, and you know he was there.
With the Terminator also,
The Terminator's a little bit bigger, because, I mean, he got killed really well.
Yeah, yes, yeah, I agree with that.
You know.
That was early on in his career, but the big one, which I'd love to talk about, because this is the first movie I talked to him about when he got off the airplane, was Weird Science.
Oh, absolutely.
That, talk about Steen Seeling show when it comes to Chet. He, anytime he was in there, just everybody was focused on it. And I talked to him, he told me he gets asked about that movie a lot, so he didn't mind that I was bringing it up. And, He told me how much fun it was to film that movie. And one of the things I just want to let our listeners know he had let me in on is if you ever watch the clip where Chet is confronting everybody, his grandparents are frozen in the pantry and everything at the end of the movie, Anthony Michael Hall wouldn't stop laughing. And he said they had filmed like 30 takes of this damn scene. And every time they would try to do it, Anthony Michael Hall would just crack up laughing when Chet was talking. And most of it was ad-lib. You know, they just went with it. And so what they finally did is they said, screw it, let him laugh. And if you watch the clip, you can see him in the background. And all of a sudden, he just puts his head down and he's shaking and he's cracking up laughing. And the girl next to him kind of pulls his arm like, stop it, I'm ready to finish this. And they get through with the scene and stuff. But yeah, that's a little tidbit he let me know about. But he was excellent. That
I'll just tell you, I eat little pieces of shit like you for breakfast. That, when he got turned into a pile of crap, that was another one of those of just example of 80s movies just being randomly
like, going above and beyond
and there's Bill Paxton. Hey, you know, he was in Commando.
Yes.
You know, so after he gets killed by Schwarzenegger, he's hanging around him. You know, he seems to have just made friends in the right place.
Oh yeah, and then he got picked up for other stuff. Everybody, people wanted them in their movies, man. You know, Tombstone. Michael Rooker said he was awesome to work with.
His probably, well, all of the tributes whenever he passed away were saying, "Game over, man, game over." He was the one character in Aliens that really knew what was going on. he's a space marine. All the rest of them are being badass. He's like, dude, we're fucked. Yeah. Like, this isn't cool. This is in no way manly or macho. I want to get out of here. We're in trouble.
Right.
And in the end, he had a really good death. He just, you know, went out shooting. So here's to Hudson. Here's one. I wanted to watch it last night. When we talked about just now about, you know, people you can reach back to in your past and be like, man, you really had an effect on my life. So when I was in my early 20s, so this would have been in the mid 90s, I worked at a sporting goods store in the bike shop. And there's a whole cast of characters that worked in that shop with me, you know. But my manager, my boss, and one of my best friends was a dude named Max. And at the time, we used to give him a hard time because he was, what we used to say is like, dude, you know, you'd be cool to hang out with, but you're all married and you got a kid. He had like a newborn child, you know. It's like you must have been cool back before you were old, you know. We used to give him a hard time in that, like, you know, and he's like just a couple years older than me,
right?
But it was just the way his life had gone. But he was all skater, you know, checkerboard, Vans wearing dude, and was like, you know, I'm all 90s grunge kid, and he's like, no, bro, you need to go back and watch some of the old, you know, 80s movies. And a couple of them that he recommended, one of them was, Madonna wrote a song about it. It was, it had Sean Penn and Chris Penn and Christopher Walken. And their dad, Christopher Walken, was the dad. He was a gangster guy. And the two sons were like his gangster gophers.
Right.
And when shit went wrong, he went and killed them both. Or he killed the son, and he tried to kill the other one, and the other one survived and got him. It is a really intense movie, but because Madonna did the soundtrack, you're not thinking it's like the most manly thing.
Right, right.
I'll remember in a second.
Okay.
It was that one and Near Dark. He's like, you've never seen Near Dark? I'm like,
why would I?
Why would I? Because, again, even though I was kind of a horror fan, Near Dark was never a big release. Right. You know, it was a cult following, but I remember seeing that, and that scene, well, first of all, with Paxton's face half burnt off, but whenever Lance Hendrickson, and they shoot him up, and he spits the bullets out.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, just certain like, there's certain movies that you just can't, like, for all their flaws, you just can't think could be any better than they are.
Yeah.
Like, they're
organically
simply
good.
They're simply perfect the way they are, and if you tried to change any one element, if you had a director like George Lucas try to go in and, like, scrub it, clean it up, you'd totally fucking wreck it.
Right.
Near Dark is that. And I had forgotten, until the other day, I was kind of like, reading over some Bill Paxton stuff, and I was like, man, I gotta get that. And unfortunately right now it's not available on any of the streaming services, so I need to go on Amazon and just buy it,
just to get it. Yeah,
just to get it, because I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but it is brilliant.
I haven't seen it in a long time. Well, you know what, I think I may have seen VHS copies of it recently.
If you find one, grab it.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out,
because I'm gonna just buy it, because it's, I mean, I'm gonna hit Amazon and just,
right.
So we've talked about haunting around the video store, the movies that you maybe never actually watched, but those covers that just kind of get you brain dead.
Yes.
Bill Paxton and Bill Pullman.
I don't know how, so much stuff, man.
I don't know how anybody ever confused those two. They don't look alike.
They look nothing alike.
just because of the name, I guess, but...
Bill P.
That one was one of those that, like, I always got the video case and would look at it and be like, I wonder what this is about. I'm gonna probably rent, like, Independence Day or something, you know?
Yeah. Because it's something you never heard of, you know? You have no reason to watch it.
Predator 2.
Yes. That was actually, I enjoyed Predator 2. It was a different take on the whole Predator thing. I liked it a lot. I thought Glover did a good job in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good movie.
I agree. Bill Paxton again, in his just way of being able to nail an on-screen death. That's the one where the Terminator ripped his back out.
Right, yeah, pulled his back out.
Pulled his entire spine out through his back, and then his whole body just kind of slumped.
Slumped, crumbled. Right. I remember that very well.
I mean, he didn't kill his partner because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, if you can grow some new...
victims. Yeah, that's something what it is. How you breed your victims.
Yeah, I kind of fell out with the Predator series after Predator 2. I watched them, but I didn't really like them.
Aliens vs. Predator was good. When they were at the North Pole, I liked that one a lot. I thought that one was kind of cool. It went deep into the background of the battle between the two. It did a real good origin story of explaining exactly why they were appearing in the same movie all of a sudden. And I enjoyed it, man. It was pretty good.
Still, for me, and we'll cut back to Aliens. Rarely does a sequel improve upon the original so well as to you can't compare Alien and Aliens is this a better movie? Because Alien was more suspense horror.
Yeah.
And Aliens was more action horror. You know, you can't really overlay them and say, okay, well, this is a better, they just took that same monster and upped the stakes.
Yeah.
You know, and again, my wife, who does not like horror movies, this was probably about a year or so ago, she's like, we were flipping around Netflix, and she's like, oh, let's watch Aliens. And I'm like, oh, yes! Let me go run and push the button before you change your mind. Totally enhanced by Paxton's presence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he just looked, scene stealer, man. He had his personality and the way he carried himself, the way he fell into any part. It worked, man.
Tombstone, you mentioned it a few
times.
That's
an awesome movie, dude. That's a very cool movie too. I used to see it many, many times. Val Kilmer's role in it was just great as Doc Holliday. I mean, it's a really good movie.
I think that's one of those. It's weird how things that used to be old and or classic 20 years ago were technicolored and a little bit different. Now it's all, it's just part of the zeitgeist, so you don't really think about. But Tombstone really is going to be one of those classic Western movies that, and I think it is even now, you know, people draw from it to, you know, like, how do you make a good movie? Well, first, you watch Tombstone.
Yeah.
I really think it's pretty timeless.
Yeah, it was a great Western. It didn't try to go overboard. It didn't try to do, you know, it stuck with the traditional style of, you know, making a good Western. You know, Open Range is another one I like a lot. You know, those, you don't see those a lot. Because Young Guns was good, but they kind of went a little bit over the top. They wanted to make it more of an action movie as opposed to a Western. And, Tombstone, it fit it perfect.
Not a horror, but Apollo 13. Anytime you can choose scenery.
He was awesome in that movie.
Anytime
dude.
You can choose scenery away from Tom Hanks. I mean, when you got you and Tom Hanks in a room and you can direct the attention away from Tom Hanks.
You're doing a good job.
You're a genius.
He was good in that movie too, man. I enjoyed it. He made the movie. I mean, it would get boring a little bit and Paxton scene would show up.
Did you see the tribute that the Storm Chasers did for him?
Yes, I sure did. I sure did.
From Twister. I think you know, that was in that mid to late 90s like disaster movie redux, and Twister was one of the better of them.
It was pretty good.
I mean, you watch the whole thing and you got the killer tornado and it's very Jaws like. But at the end of the day, you can't defeat the tornado, so the best they could do is float that trash can full of the little beer can propeller things into it.
Little aluminum things in it.
And they did that, and they were able to chart the storm, and they succeeded, and they didn't get hit by a flying cow. So,
right.
I remember seeing that movie in the theater, just watching that cow fly.
Yeah.
It was like, oh... Here's your rival Storm Chaser.
It was right in the middle when CGI really...
I guess he's sort of the bad guy. He's not going to make it.
It was right there when CGI started like taking a real good foothold in the movies, and that's when just all the ridiculous special effects came up. And everything. Yeah. But you know, it didn't go as far as the day after tomorrow did, but it made it a better movie. You know, I enjoyed it.
Day After Tomorrow was kind of ridiculous.
It went over the top. Went too much. You know,
it's just like that. That's like saying, "What if God got angry without acknowledging that there's a God?"
Yeah.
It's just all of a sudden, nature's just going to freeze everything because
it instantly freeze everything.
Instantly freeze. Like that. That was some godlike stuff happening.
Oh, yeah.
Without any kind of deity doing
the
it.
Apocalypse like, type stuff for
wow.
sure.
He was in Titanic. He didn't die on the boat. He was one of the survivors of the Titanic movie. It's funny. Apparently there was a deleted scene. James Cameron, like George Lucas, is a brilliant, brilliant man who doesn't have a whole lot of people around to tell him no. But fortunately, when somebody actually does, he listens. But there is apparently a deleted scene that I think you can even see it on YouTube, of Titanic, where at the end, when Rose throws that diamond off the end of the research vessel, he catches her doing it. And it's like, "What are you doing?" And the end of the movie was her turning around and looking at Bill Paxton and just smiling, and then him looking at her and then just smiling, and then the two of them dancing into the moonlight. And whoever was there, and they filmed it. Like, that was the end of the movie. It was like,
you just ruined the whole movie.
He would have no frame of reference for why she threw that thing off the boat. And second, that's his entire life, is looking for that diamond. Like, he wouldn't be dancing with her. He would immediately be throwing ROVs out to catch it. Like, if you don't want it, give it to me, because that's what I'm searching for.
Yeah,
and James Cameron, like, "You know, you're right. Let's go ahead and dial that one back and have her just die."
They would, like, turn a serious movie into just something campy as hell.
Right.
Yeah, it would have taken away from it, for sure.
But there's that scene, and it's Bill Paxton with his big old smile, like... Nobody cares about this guy with no passport that you're telling us about, that there's no register for. Like, we don't even know that you were on this boat. We're just listening to your story.
Right. Because we're desperate at this point.
Because they found a picture in the safe.
Yeah.
She didn't look like that anymore.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
And the last one I put on the list, because after that is whenever he got real out of the horror genre. He did a lot of wonderful things, but probably one of my favorite projects on this list was Frailty.
Okay.
Have you seen Frailty?
I've seen some trailers for it, some scenes, but I haven't seen the whole movie.
He wrote it, he directed it, he acted in it. It's him, Matthew McConaughey, and Powers Booth. And it is a mindfuck. Complete and total shitstorm of a movie. And it's kind of slow because it's unraveling of a tale. But it is brilliant. And so, basic plot line. I mean, it came out like 10, 15 years ago, so I don't want to like spoil alert it to the movie, but I won't give away the ending. But basically, Powers Booth is the investigator, and he's talking to Matthew McConaughey, who's a small town cop, about a string of murders. And Matthew McConaughey is recounting the story of being a child, like his father, Bill Paxton, and his brother was another little boy, and his father kept having visions about seeing demons. And he had a vision from God, and the vision that God showed him was an axe and a pair of gloves.
Okay.
And so Bill Paxton would run around hacking up people because they were demons, and taking his little boys with him. And now Matthew McConaughey is one of the grown sons.
Okay.
And like I said, it's mindfuck. But yeah, it
sounds out there.
You need to watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
It is. I mean, as a tribute to Bill, because it's his magnum opus. You need to find that movie. You need to watch that movie.
Yeah, I definitely will.
It is phenomenal. I think it's probably one of his highest rated movies that he's ever was ever in.
Okay.
And he wrote it, directed it, acted in it, and I think it won a lot of awards too. Okay.
Yeah, I'll definitely. Have
to and it's legitimately scary. Like it's still on my mind now, and I haven't watched it in years. So you need to check it out. But I don't know, man. I think that's.
He's had other movies that I remember him being in that I enjoyed. Next to Kin was one, but it was a young Bill Paxton in that one.
It was a young Bill Paxton and a starting to age Patrick Swayze. Crazy,
yes. Yes, it was. But he's still, it's 100% Bill Paxton in that movie. That movie actually had some good kills in it, too, when you think about it. At the end, when they're in the graveyard fighting from the Hills people against the mob, it has some good ones in there, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't want to, derail. I don't know what happened to Patrick Swayze. It's like he had a really, really good career trajectory. And then he did a couple of, like, straight-to-video movies that just were...
Yeah, they just...
It was like...
Raised no buzz. You didn't know he was still around.
How do you get the guy from Dirty Dancing to agree to do this, first of all?
Right.
And then why does he keep doing it? Like, did just
his did not help his ringing? Career at all. You know, Ghost was probably his last really great, great movie. You know, he had Roadhouse after that, but Roadhouse wasn't
Roadhouse Ghost. was one of the ones of like, why are you making this?
Right. Yeah, definitely wasn't Ghost. That may be the fall of his career right there, just doing Roadhouse, kind of put him in a,
Pain don't hurt, man.
Right, pigeonholed him a little bit, and he stayed right there.
I think he kind of wanted to get out of being the leading man role and into more of a... action movie.
It was a good movie, but it was a horrible movie at the same time.
It's fun to watch, but it's not good.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of painful to watch, actually.
Oh, some of the scenes, it's like, really?
Chewing his lines. So, I don't, like I said, I didn't want to screw up a tribute to Bill Paxton by talking about Patrick Swayze, but...
Right. Well, one more thing I want to share about Bill. Just a little anecdote from when I got to hang out with him last weekend, last year. Before he, what you need? Whenever the day he went to leave, we had breakfast together at the airport. It was just me and him, and we were talking, we were chatting about the weekend and stuff. And he was ready to get home, of course, to his family and stuff. And there was this little girl about 4 years old that was playing at the table behind us. And me and her watched her for a while, and we talked about how, how important it is to cultivate imagination in a child. And, you want to make sure they keep that for as long as possible. And we enjoyed watching her and stuff. Got back to breakfast and talking. And we went to leave to go to his gate so he can catch the plane, and he noticed the little girl was by herself. And her dad was in the front of the restaurant buying some other stuff. And he told me, he said, sit down. I don't want to leave till her dad gets back. I want to make sure she's safe. And I was like, damn, dude, you have got to be from a small town like me. He says, yeah. He says, you take care of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a guy he was, man. And that right there just put him over the top for me. He's one of my favorites.
That's awesome. I mean, you always hope whenever you meet somebody that they, kind of follow through on their image.
Yeah, your expectations of them, yeah.
But from all I can gather is that he was just a wonderful person to both work with and to be around, that he was a creative, that he brought a lot to the table, that he didn't just show up to work, that
right.
He was when I saw that he passed, I was hoping it was some kind of fucked up TMZ joke.
Yeah.
Because I really, really liked that guy, and it's just one of those things. We talk about horror and we talk about kill count and we talk about that kind of stuff, but it just brings it home that you never know. You never know how long you got, so you got to just kind of make today count as best you can.
Right.
And from looking at 93 credits in 34 years, it looked like he did as best he could to make pretty much every day count as much as he could.
And span the period to where he touches everybody. Yeah, and one of my favorite lines is by John Mulaney. I miss certain actors more than I miss certain dead relatives. And with Bill Paxton, it's a truism right there.
Mm-hmm.
He affected my life more than a lot of relatives that I had. And he'll be missed a lot more.
Certainly going to be missed. Let's raise our glass to Mr. Bill.
Yes, indeed.
and you know, have a beer with my dad up there. Y'all can share stage names.
My dad actually brought a six pack with him, so my mom made sure to put a six pack of beer and a fifth of Crown in his coffin whenever he passed away.
Right. Take care, guys. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Fish heads, roly poly fish heads, eat them up, yum. Fish heads.
The morning, laughing happy fish heads. In the evening, floating in the soup.
Fish heads, roly-poly fish heads, eat them up, yum.
Ask a fish head anything you want to, they won't answer, they can't talk.
Restaurants with Oriental women.